I thought this was going to be a weekend thing, and all of a sudden they'd be an adult converted person poo-pooing in the pot, you know.
Welcome to Model Minority Moms, where we talk about the meaning of success in career, family, and life. We are Jeanette Park,
Kate Wong,
and Susan Liu,
Harvard classmates and Asian American working moms who get real about the pressures of fitting in while standing out.
Greetings, greetings, new year, new look. It's 2023 and we are back. And I am ready to let it all go because it's time to potty train people. Art is almost 3 years old. I'm embarrassed to say he's still running around in diapers. But all of a sudden yesterday, last night, he was like, he just sat down on the potty. I read this potty book by Leslie Petroselli like 10 times. I mean, maybe he was trying to avoid bath time, but I'm excited. I'm scared. The idea of not carrying around a whole bunch of diapers anymore is really exciting, but I'm terrified. I don't know how to do it. I bought a whole bunch of gummy bears. I bought some like 60% off Christmas toys from the local pharmacy store. And I was like, okay, I have rewards. I don't know what to do. There's so many manuals. There's so many philosophies. Is there going to be pee and poop smeared all over my walls? Like, I need help right now to figure out how to do this in the most painless way possible. And I'm calling on the mothership of crowdsourcing. Your two minds, please help me let it go with potty training.
So for the listeners, to remind them, Art is almost three, right? He turns three in
3 months. Yeah. So he's 2.75. He's 2.75. But the thing is, everyone's like, you know, you want to see when they're ready. And like, are they interested? This guy, I have been like, Art, do you have a poo-poo right now? He goes, no. And he has like smeared shit in his diaper. You know, like, I'm just like, he never tells me the truth. So then I'm always like, oh, maybe he's not ready. Maybe he has been ready. Like, maybe 6 months ago he was interested in the potty and then it kind of just stopped. Like, was that my moment to start? I don't know when to start.
So, you know, Isaiah is almost five. He'll be five in a few months, like 2 months. And Ruth is not quite 2.5. So Isaiah's fully potty trained now, thank God, you know, and he doesn't wear a diaper like ever. He hasn't for quite a while.
You mean overnights too, right?
Overnights too. Yeah. He doesn't wear overnights either. Yeah.
Can I just interject real quick for people who aren't as familiar with potty training? So apparently, and I didn't realize this either until I started reading about potty training, but potty train can mean you're potty trained during the day, but you still need diapers for naps and nights because the overnights and Jeanette, I don't know. I think you might have mentioned it before. Maybe I got it from you. I can't remember. But that apparently it's a developmental thing for a lot of kids to be able to go dry overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right?
So for Isaiah, I think he was potty trained by the time he was around Ruth's age. I think we started before he was two and then he was pretty much potty trained by the time he was 2 years and 2 months, but daytime potty trained. But he probably wore a diaper overnight, not for naps, but for overnight for almost a year afterwards. So, you know, it's a process. And I will say that, you know, Ruth is not potty trained and I don't actually anticipate that she's going to be potty trained. I think she'll be potty trained in the next 6 months, but not like in the next 2 weeks. Mm. And I'll explain why I think that. And I actually feel fine with it. I think partly because of the experience that I went through with Isaiah. So for Isaiah, I think like also his circumstances were different because in the window when he was ready to be potty trained, Jake and I were both on parental leave with Ruth. So we started him a little bit before I think Ruth was born, but from the time he was 2 years and 4 months till he was like 2 years and 8 months, we were both on leave and just like basically hanging out with him all day, every day. And I think that that helped him kind of complete his potty training like much faster. And the method that we used was from the Oh Crap book. So I know, Kate, you're not a big fan of the book, but that's, you know, like a lot of these books, like we didn't necessarily follow it word for word, but that's the general approach that we took, right? Which is we kind of did like a more intensive kickoff where for over, I think like a 3-day weekend, we just stayed at home. And he ran around without his diaper on or pants on. And we gave him lots of juice. And every time he started going pee or needed to go pee, we would just like rush him to the potty. And yes, there were some accidents. Some pee dribbled on the floor. And we also have we had a toddler size potty for him, right? So we weren't rushing him to the big grown-up potty with the toddler seat, which I think can be a little bit, you know, you just want to lower the barriers as much as possible to going pee in a container rather than in your diaper. I know that some kids struggle with, like, they call it poop separation or something. Like, they struggle with this idea of the poop being away from their body because they're so used to it coming out but still attached to your butt. I know that some kids struggle with that. It wasn't like really a thing for Isaiah. So we did that intensive 3-day period where he kind of got the idea, like, oh, I feel an urge to go pee. Then I go pee in this container, right? And so just at least helping him make that connection. And then afterwards, what we would do is we started going out again and resuming our regular schedule, but we didn't put him in underwear. We just put him in pants. And we would take maybe 2 or 3 pairs of pants he could change into, but we would also bring a portable little potty for him. So we would go to the zoo, but he would say, I need to go pee. And immediately wherever we were, we would just drop his pants and he would just go pee in the little portable potty, which you can buy on Amazon and it comes with a plastic liner. And so he would just go pee or poop wherever we were immediately. And we would just tie it up and then throw it away in the bathroom.
Small logistics here. Pee or poop anywhere. With the poop, do you always put a little water in it so that it's like slides around more, or you just get a doggy bag and grab the poop out of it?
Thing? Okay, like when you clean out the potty.
Yeah.
So with I know you have this thing around poop, Susan.
It's fine. You're comfortable with just picking up poop?
No, I don't do it like with my hands, but I think I'm a little less bothered by it. So when you're out and you are using the potty with the plastic liner, you know, it's like a doggy bag. You just tie it up and you throw it away. You could do that at home. And I think some people do that at home. For us, what we did was we would just take the plastic insert where the pee and poop goes, and we would just dump it into the potty. And then we would take a lot of toilet paper and we would wipe out the rest, right? Until there was no more visible poop. And then we would just rinse it out again, dump that water in the potty, flush the grown-up potty, and put it back. That's what we did.
You don't do any sprays or anything?
Can I just say, like, we did not? Like, okay, I don't think...
I just want to know.
Yeah, it's fine. That's what we did. And nobody got, like, salmonella or anything. And but that whole period where we were... Well, he probably went without underwear and just pants, and maybe at home, just nothing on his bottom, probably for 3 months. So the other thing about potty training is, at least for us, in my experience with Isaiah, it was quite an extended thing. It's like it took time, right? And then he probably started wearing underwear out, like maybe after 2 to 3 months of us starting it. And then we probably had to carry around the portable potty probably for at least 6 to 12 months. And then after that, he kind of developed enough muscle control to at least be able to hold it long enough where we could take him to the bathroom. Right. And also for him to realize early enough that he actually needed to go pee, because a lot of times the kids would only tell you literally 2 seconds before they need to go pee that they need to go pee. And then I think the last part of it is also just being able to just learning how to relax your bladder so that you could go pee even when it's not super urgent. Right. So it's like when we're going to go in the car for a long car ride, it's like, Isaiah, let's do a pee pee check. And him just being able to empty his bladder, even though he doesn't need to go right then. Does that make sense? I mean, that's a skill you need to learn. And I would say, you know, all of these things were incremental things like he needed to learn over really a period of a year. So I'm just saying it's a journey, right? And so what the Oh Crap book does say is that older kids do learn faster than younger kids, right? And Isaiah, I think in the spectrum of like American potty training timeline, he was like on the earlier side. And so with, you know, by the time Isaiah was her age, he was using the potty pretty consistently. She is not. And I think there's a couple of reasons for this. Like, she's not going to have a third sibling. So it's, she doesn't have two parents on parental leave who are chasing her around with a portable potty, you know, and the daycare center where she is, like, also cannot, right? It's a group care setting. So they cannot just rush her over to the potty every time she says she needs to go pee, and they're not going to let her run around with no diapers. So they have a different criteria for when they are willing to try transitioning her out of diapers. And so I think it's just going to be a later time period for her. And like, I think initially I felt some guilt around that. I'm like, oh, you know, maybe if I took a month off and just shuttled her to the potty every hour, then she would be potty trained by now. But that would mean I would have to take that month off. And then also on the weekends, we couldn't go anywhere because she would need immediate access to a potty. And that's much harder to do when you have a four and a half year old bouncing off the walls. Like, you just need to get out of the house. Right. So I think for all these reasons, her potty training is going to just be later than Isaiah's. But I'm okay with that, actually. Like, I know that she's not going to be going to kindergarten in diapers. You know, it's going to happen sometime. It's just going to be a little bit later. I think actually sometimes she feels frustrated by that, by it, because I think she's interested in the potty and feels like she can go. And so at those times, I try to facilitate it. And she has gone pee by herself in the potty. So she has some connection there. It's just that it's not super consistent. So yeah, that's where we are with potty training. That's how we did it. You know, so I am anticipating maybe if I did this when she's closer to three, it might be more a 3 to 4 month process rather than, you know, a year long thing. So Susan, I know, I think you just wanted me to tell you, like, you just do this one extreme day and then he's like, yeah, potty train, no more diapers.
I have been mentally preparing that. It's just a weekend. Like, not this, like,
To kick it off.
It's a weekend. No one has said that to me.
Well,
Oh my God.
Maybe other people have had a different experience, but that was my experience, because there are still additional skills you need to master to be fully potty trained. Right. And it takes time. Each of those things you learn in increments. You have to master the previous skill before you can do the next one. And then going overnight is a whole different thing, right? Where you have to, like, think about all the things you need to do to stay dry overnight. You need to be able to go pee when it's not urgent, right? Just like a lot of adults, we go pee before we go to bed, even if we don't need to go right then, but we know how to relax our bladder so we could empty it. You need to learn that skill. And then in the morning, you need to know how to hold it. You need to have the muscular skill to hold it so you don't just void your bladder whenever you feel the urge to go, right? And so all these things take time to learn, and they can't, like, my experience is, especially the younger the child, like, it's going to take time for them to learn. It doesn't happen in one weekend.
God, and the overnight thing, Susan, is biological. Like, there's no way you can speed that up. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but I felt like I read somewhere that boys might come to this a little later than girls in terms of being able to biologically, like, physically hold it overnight. So there's very little way that you can apparently force the overnight, like, not wearing diaper.
Yeah.
Like, it has to come naturally. Like, for some kids, it comes earlier. I think the earliest I've heard is, like, I think I've heard a friend whose son did it at age 3, but then I have friends whose kids are like 5 and they're still in overnight diapers, and there's no shame. So I think that part should be, like, a separate consideration. Like,
for, okay, is that what pull-ups are
for? We use pull-ups for nap time because Riot is not consistently dry while she naps. That's another thing too, is that there's no pressure. Well, so actually I don't know about your daycare, Jeanette, but like Raya's daycare, because it's a Montessori daycare, they actually don't allow the kids to wear diapers at all once you enter their preschool class. I think other daycares are different, but so actually Raya at school does not wear a diaper, but she occasionally, maybe like twice a month, has a pee accident during her nap time. At home, we don't want to clean off the bed sheets all the time, so we do put a diaper on her. So that there's also variability there, Susan. It's not like a black and white, like, you know, situation. So you may have to talk to
daycare too. But I mean, if she only has like 2 accidents a month and she's like used to not wearing.
I know, but like she's had an accident. Like, she likes to sleep on our bed sometimes. So I've had to like totally strip the sheets and, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just. for safety reasons, I prefer to, like, currently most of the time I do put a diaper on her when she's napping at home.
And that would be a pull-up.
Yeah. Well, no, you can use a regular diaper too. I think I read somewhere, Jeanette, I don't know if you read this too, but like that sometimes pull-ups aren't necessarily.
Yeah. Isaiah actually did not do pull-ups at all. He didn't do pull-ups at all. He just like, so we just did, you know, I actually think pull-ups are a little bit of like a marketing ploy.
Yeah. That's what I read. And they're more expensive than regular
diapers. Oh yeah, they are. They are. Yeah. They're like, I think like twice as expensive. Like they're pretty expensive, but Ruth is using them because her daycare wants her to be able to push down. Like that's the other skill that they also have to learn, right? Which is don't say pull down your pants. You're actually pushing them down. So use like the right language, right? But the whole skill of pushing down your pants, pushing down your underwear or pull up. But they wanted her in pull up so that she could practice that motion. So she is in pull ups, right? So her path is going to be different than Isaiah's. But like, I think that but that's the other thing. That's another skill to learn.
Yeah. Same with Raya. And when she was in her toddler class, they also requested me to buy pull-ups because of they wanted her to learn how to, you know, push down the pants. So you may want to talk to Art's daycare. Like if they don't mind, you know, slash if you want, or if you want him to do that, you can also say, hey, I prefer Art to wear pull-ups because I want him to learn this action, right? It kind of depends on your daycare slash what you want. If the daycare doesn't have a specific requirement.
Right now at the daycare. So it's a home daycare. There's like 11 kids, 4 months to like 4 years old. Okay. So it's a very diverse age daycare. And apparently every time a kid goes potty and like succeeds, everyone, all the daycare person will like bring them out like Simba. All the kids will cheer and then they get a little candy. Like it's like this like big group experience. And it's like, it's interesting, you know? So I'm like, I'm hoping that since he's with other kids that have already done it, like maybe it'll be easier or something, but it becomes this like very public thing for them.
So two thoughts on that. Well, actually, so, you know, might be a good segue into mentioning how Raya got potty trained, because I actually think the environmental, I wouldn't call it pressure, but peer actions for Raya was what really did help her get potty trained. Because I had, you know, read the Oh Crap book that, you know, everybody seems to read. And most of my friends, actually, like my college roommates, all did that 3-day method that's outlined in the Oh Crap book.
Wait, is it 3-day method plus this like 1-year thing? Like, or
yeah,
is it like?
Yeah, but she never, like, I feel like she kind of downplays that like, it takes time later on. Like she focuses on the, here's how you get them started, like 3 days, right? And that's pretty much what most people use. So I think that's actually, it's very common to do that. So I thought that's what we were going to do too, because it seems to have worked for a lot of people that I know. And so I bought the book, and then, you know, there are readiness signs, right? Like, I think they show interest when you go to the toilet, you know, they have like friends at school where they're also, you know, whatever. So she actually, Raya showed all the signs of readiness. So just to let you know that even if all.
But how old was she? How old was she?
This is December of 2021. So she was a year and 8 months.
You know, immediately my mom Dar inside is like, oh my God, what's wrong with me and my child?
No. And also, by the way, the Oh Crap, and I also blame it a little bit on the Oh Crap book, because she said the best time frame to potty train your child is like between 20 and 30 months of age. Right. So she had, I was like, oh, I don't really want to rush her. But then I was like, oh, like Oh Crap says 20 months seems like normal. Like, you know, okay. And then she has all this. And also the other driving motivation, which in retrospect was stupid, was that I was pregnant with Leela. And I was like, I don't want to deal with like two kids in diapers. Like, I just want to get her Raya potty trained before the baby comes. Cause I don't think I'll have time to like deal with, you know, diaperless toddler running around to potty train her, right? That was the reasoning.
It was like, instead of saying abundance, you said a buttless.
Sorry, I meant abundant? To say diaperless, but I don't know why she meant diaperless. I meant diaperless. I said buttless instead, which obviously doesn't make sense. Sorry.
I don't want a butt.
Right? So that it all made sense in my mind. I was like, okay, I'm checking off the boxes that this expert says, like age range is appropriate. She's showing some signs. So I was like, oh, Christmas vacation. Like my in-laws are going to be here. Extra pairs of eyes on a naked butt, you know? That was the reasoning. Oh my God.
What happened?
A disaster. So day one, we stripped her, right? Like she's totally butt naked on the bottom. And, you know, she just kept peeing on the floor. Like, just, you know, because you're supposed to rush them to the toilet when there's like a trickle coming out. But let's be honest, like, I don't think toddlers just trickle their pee. It just comes out, right? Like, and so we just kept rushing, you know, it didn't work. So I was like, okay, whatever. And I would like read her a little book on the toilet, like the same potty book actually by Leslie Patricelli that Susan held up and a couple of other ones. I think like one time she successfully like partially peed in the potty and we were like super excited, but you know, she just didn't like, I think she knew, but she just, it was like almost like she didn't want to or like wasn't interested. And then we got so desperate. Day two, we were like bribing her with screen time on the potty, which is the other thing that I wanted to mention, Susan, is that
you're going to cause hemorrhoids.
No. You're not supposed to, like, the whole bribery thing. And I was reading on it later. You're not really supposed to bribe them to be on a potty, because at least with Raya, what happened is that she was like, oh, I'll just sit on the potty so I can get screen time.
Yeah.
But she wasn't actually interested in peeing. Right. But she's smart enough to know that, you know, action A gets input B. Right. Output. And so It was just miserable because, like, you know, she still kept peeing on the floor. And then we, you know, try to get her to pee on the potty. And after about 3 days, I was just like, you know, and I'm like pregnant and I'm like running, you know, rushing with this like toddler she was unhappy because I would get really annoyed. I was like, why are you still peeing on the floor? And I was like, this is just not worth like the stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think just you don't want to make it a power, you want to avoid making it a power struggle. Like, you don't, you know, because I think that it can turn like that if the kid feels like any sort of pressure to go, but then they, for whatever reason, they're like just maybe in a place that day or like that season where they're just like, I'm not going to do what my parents want me to do, right? Like, I might want to do it if, you know, whatever, you know, like toddlers, they just get like these ideas in their head. And so I think you want to avoid it being a power struggle. And I was going to also mention like the incentive thing, that you don't have to use an incentive. Like, I don't think you need to give them things for doing it. Like, I think like praise or just like recognition is fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you need to use
stickers. No gummy bears?
It backfired because my friend used candy for her kid. And so then her daughter kept hassling her for like candy and would only basically like be willing to toilet if she got a candy in return. Like, it could backfire. It depends on the child. Each child is different, right? Like,
yeah, I think just in general, I mean, this goes to a bigger question around incentives, right? But I just feel like if it's something that you expect them to do just as a part of daily life, like, I would just kind of steer clear from providing incentives, because then it becomes like, I do this because of the incentive, right? Not right. Because I just do it because I'm growing up and I'm becoming a big boy, you know? And this is what big boys do. That's what I think. Like, so I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, incentives are terrible and you should never use them, but I think maybe using them more sparingly is fine, is better. And then like, I actually would start off by trying not to use them, because he might just do it without it.
Yeah. And like for us, obviously Raya was smart enough to figure out that she could just get screen time by sitting on the toilet, which totally backfired on us. And then, you know, it just wasn't. And once you set that precedent, it's very hard in the same breath to kind of undo that, walk it back. Right. And I think I was reading later on that is the advice, is that because toileting is an everyday activity, it's a biological function. One, you shouldn't make it such a big deal, but just naturally, like Jeanette said, like, oh, good job, you toileted, and just make like an observation. It's supposed to be like, oh, like, you know, make, because that can also apparently create pressure for some kids. Like, if you make it such a big deal, then some kids could feel like, oh, well, if I don't do it correctly, then, you know, my parents won't be happy. Or like, in order to, does that make sense, Susan? Like, it's, I mean, again, every kid is different, but I let read later on that you're just not supposed to make it such a big deal.
Can I tell you how I make it a big deal last night? Okay. Last night, Art like was trying to probably avoid bath time, and he keeps peeing into his tiny potty. Okay. And
that's
then
good. He is peeing into his tiny potty.
Last night that's what he wanted to do.
He wants to do it or he's doing it.
No. It's like I was trying to strip him naked for the bath.
Yeah.
And then he just like, I'm gonna go sit down. And then he peed. And then I was
that's great. That's so great.
Well, then fucking Harvard mom was like, oh, well, I'm gonna up level this, because I heard that don't even get them. You know, this is all about hearsay. It's terrible. This is terrible how we pass wisdom down, but it's always in passing, right? Like at a playground, on a play date, you're like, oh, how'd you do it? So they're like, oh, instead of using the toy potty thing, the smaller one, just skip that step and just go for the big potty. And I was like, oh, cool. So someone gave me this like little, it's like a step stool thing and you put it on top of the.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have like, one of those.
Lift the seat up. I was like, okay. So I was like, oh, let's just take it to the next level right now, Art. And then I put that on and he was super, he can barely climb on. Like,
I think, yeah.
I don't know if it's our seat and it's how it's elevated.
They're not stable.
Yes, it's very scary. And so he's like trying to hold on. He's holding on to me to climb on. And I'm like, oh my God. But eventually he pees into that. And I was like, oh, that's actually what I want, right? Like, I don't want to have to do this second. I want to eliminate steps in my life. Like, I don't want to have to dump the play potty into the big potty. This is great. So in the potty book, the one we keep referencing, there's this final picture where the kid is running around with a toilet roll around the house naked and we yell hooray. Okay. So then he keeps pointing to the toilet roll. And I was like, no. That was a pee-pee, Art. I'll give you like 8 squares. We're going to run around and keep yelling hooray. So I started running laps and he wanted me to hold one side of the toilet paper. He ran. So then we start running laps around the house, just yelling hooray over and over again. And then he points to the giant toilet roll. And I was like, oh, when you do a poo-poo in the big potty, we do the whole roll. And then he like nods and he understands. I do not know what I've just committed myself to. But I have also bought toys and gummies. And I was like, oh, I was going to wrap one of the toys and like hold it over his head until he does that. But I think if I could commit to the big roll and running around, I'm happy to do more laps. I just hope, you know, until he's 18, I don't have to like run around with toilet paper around the house all my life.
Yeah, I think that's would be my concern. It, not until he's 18, obviously, but like that it's going to be like this. He will expect it. You will have to have lots of toilet paper. But it's good. I mean, I think it's so great that he went on his own. Like, I understand. I think some people just do straight go to the big potty. I think for me, like, even though it is an additional step, I prefer the small potty because they could just be more independent. Yeah, it's more relaxed and they could be more independent. But you know, I think like both ways could work. Yeah.
I think they say for younger kids, especially, you might want to start with the smaller potty just because physically it's hard for them to like if. So there's also, in addition to what Susan described, there are also little small toilet seats that you can put on top of the big toilet seat. We have a baby Bjorn one. So I had that set up with a little step stool. But I think Raya at 20 months was just too small to like go on the step stool and then hoist herself onto the little potty that was potty stool. Ring that was on top of our big potty. Now she could. It's not a problem because she's almost 3. So I think age for those listeners who are out there, depending on how old your child is, I think that is really important too, because there's such a huge developmental difference between like 20 months and where Raya is now like 34 months, where you just really cannot use the same tools and approach, I think, with those ages. I think that's really important.
Yeah. I mean, like right now with Art trying to do the step stool onto the big potty, like it looks like he's doing acrobatics. He's holding on to the edges and like trying to turn around really carefully to sit down, and he can barely sit. Like, I'm like, it looks uncomfortable.
Oh,
and then he's also just trying to hold his pee like the entire time,
right? It's an extra step to do to get your pee out,
right? So I would just I would personally, if it feels like it's stressing him out to get up there, I would just do the small potty where he could just, you know, go himself. Yeah. Like, he can just sit down and go rather than feel anxious, hold his pee, and then have to release it, you know, when he's up there.
So then how long is he using the toy potty for?
Like, well, as long as they feel comfortable. I don't know. Is Isaiah still using the toy one, or does he use
He hasn't used the toy one or the small one for a long time. Like, I think that he probably stopped using it. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I want to say sometime around maybe 3.5, he stopped using it.
Yeah, Susan, I think here is where it's like no rush, because Raya primarily uses a small potty. Like, she can actually run into the bathroom now, and I'll describe the second half of her potty training journey in a little bit. But currently she runs into, you know, our downstairs bathrooms, and she can pull down her pants herself and pee in the small potty. But sometimes when we're in our bedroom and she says, Mom, I want to go potty. She's actually okay sitting on the big potty. I obviously have to lift her. So yeah. I would just let your child like kind of lead you in that, because you don't, you know, if they're comfortable, there's nothing wrong with, you know, peeing in a small potty. If they're willing to, you know, you can teach them to kind of empty it into the big potty themselves too. I don't think there's like a, Raya sometimes does that, although she's really lazy. So most of the time she makes me do it. But, you know, I just feel like no rush, right? Like the most important thing is that they're able to pee like outside of their diaper. And I actually think what's really good right now that you have with Art, which we didn't have with Raya, is that he's actually voluntarily willing, even if not consistently all the time, willing to sit in the potty. And I think that's kind of relevant to how Raya eventually got potty trained. So Susan, this may be helpful for you. So I, after that, you know, disaster 3 days when she was 20 months, I decided like I was not going to force it. I would just wait. It's fine. Like whatever, if I potty train her at three. So what's interesting though, that for fast forward 2 months, a month before the baby was born, I get a note from her teachers at the school saying, hey, we just wanted to run by you. We feel like Raya shows readiness for potty training and we'd like to do it at school. Would you be willing to compliment us at home? And I was like, really?
That's okay. Amazing.
And so they the reason why they said is because, so her class is like, the age range was about 1.5 to 2.5 years old. I would say about half of her classmates at the time were already potty trained. And so she would see them every day going to use the potty at school. And so she would started asking at school if she could go. And sometimes, you know, occasionally she was successful but she was still in diapers, right? So I think like when you mentioned that some of Art's class or, you know, kids in the daycare, they already use the potty. I think that's actually a great way to maybe coordinate with the daycare to get Art started. Because what the method that the teachers used for Raya was that then once we gave the okay for them to start potty training her, they would invite her to the toilet every half an hour and or when a classmate would go potty. And so sometimes obviously she doesn't need to pee every half an hour, right? But you know, when you ask every half an hour at some point, like, and also combined with half of your classmates using the potty, you will start doing that. And so that's how they, in a very gentle, child-led manner, got her over the course of, I think we started in February. And then at home, we were kind of implementing it part-time. Like honestly, we were kind of lazy. Like sometimes, like half the time we'd still put the diaper on her. But by the summer, she didn't need to wear a diaper during the day at home, except for naps. And then obviously at nights.
So like four to five months.
Yeah, it was like very natural. We had no rush. Yeah. I didn't want to like, you know, and at school also because the other goal was that we wanted her to join her classmates for the older class. And in order to join the older preschool class, she had to be fully potty trained because they won't do diapers even for nap times. Right. And so, but it was very gentle and it was not stressful at all, like zero stress, Susan. And so I feel like where Art is currently at, and if his daycare is willing to like, do that, you know, every half an hour invitation, especially when one of his classmates goes potty. I feel like that's the least stress for you, for Art, for everybody, you know?
Yeah. So I should go buy pull-ups.
I think you could. Yeah, you could. I mean, like follow his interests. And I think also just maybe setting expectations that this is going to be at least a couple months journey rather than a weekend thing.
It's so great to know.
Yeah, and there will be accidents, definitely.
For sure. Right? Buy extra pants now.
Yeah.
Susan,
yeah,
go to Costco. Like,
yes, just get lots of extra pants and bring them with you, right? But he'll eventually get there. I was also thinking about this friend who I feel like she's kind of more on the extreme side of child-led everything, you know, like weaning, like, you know, sleep training, like everything, including toileting, right? And so her son was still in diapers when he was 4 or 5, right? He clearly had a lot of awareness. Like when he pooped, he would just go under a table to poop because he knew that he was pooping, right? And there's something natural about just wanting to be by yourself when you're pooping. And when he finally started using the toilet, it only took a few weeks, you know? And so just knowing that he's going to get there, it's very unlikely that he's going to go to kindergarten in diapers. You know, I think for me, a little bit of the motivation was just like the environment and the number of diapers that we maybe could save if he got potty trained earlier. But I think from his development and for your anxiety, I would encourage you not to feel like it's a race or that you have to meet some deadline. Like there's really not a deadline. And I think that mindset could actually, he'll pick up on that.
Exactly. When you're stressed out, he'll feel stressed. Or like if you hear other friends who their kids got potty trained at a year and a half or whatever. Seriously, I felt pressured by that, Susan. I'll be really, really honest. And because I have a friend, I don't think she listens to our podcast. I love her, but she's also, her kids are like very advanced, right? And like her oldest son basically was like decided he wanted to be potty trained when he was like two. And then her younger daughter was potty trained at a year and a half. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm behind. But it's not about being behind or not, Susan. Like every kid is just different. And like, again, like Jeanette said, because I got stressed, like Raya got stressed. That's why it failed the first time, right? And also I think her personality is that she just, I mean, obviously I didn't use like maybe the exact method or whatever of the oh crap, but it just generally, it didn't, that rush, that blitz method didn't really work with her. And it doesn't always for all kids. It works to a lot of kids. I know that life made, that book made my life miserable, but it doesn't actually, it worked for a lot of people. Right. And so I don't want to negate that method either. But I think you just have to know your kid and figure, yeah. And also developmentally appropriate. Right. Like with art, it feels like the gradual method makes so much more sense for him at this age than like a 2-3 day blitz method.
OK, wait. So am I going to read the PDF or not? Do I read? I
think you should waste your, I mean, if you want to, like she repetitively says things. So I feel like you could read a couple chapters and get the gist. Right. But like, unless you plan to use her specific method, I don't think you need to read the entire PDF.
Okay. What I'm taking away from here is don't use so many rewards. Be in partnership with my caregiver. Like talk to the daycare about the plan or like what they're doing.
Because they're experienced, right? Because they've taken care of way more kids than you. So they may even have suggestions or like tips. And they see Art during the day and like his behavior around toileting kids.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I mean, I think he's ready because in the bath, when he has to go pee, we have a little scooper thing that we do to like push water on his hair or whatever, but like to bathe him, he'll grab it and pee into it.
Oh, yeah. He's totally ready then.
He's ready, right?
Yeah. No,
he's done it several times. And I'm like, oh, he's a clean man.
Yeah. I think maybe what you might want to try is like when he's home, just let him run around without a diaper and pants and just have like the potty available there. And just say like, hey, Art, when you feel like you need to go pee, the potty's right here. And then if you notice him peeing,
Do you leave the potty in the bathroom or anywhere in the house?
I left ours in the living room, just like where it's like most accessible. I think in the early days, it's just about accessibility and just shortening the distance and obstacles between where pee comes out to like where pee should be.
Yeah. For sure. I agree with that. Now Raya goes to the bathroom, but in the beginning, we also left the mini potty out in the main area. And I do want to add a note about poop, because I think Jeanette was earlier talking about poop separation anxiety. It's real. Like, and I will admit, Raya still poops in a diaper. It's the one thing, like, and I don't pressure her. So every time she says, and now actually as of the last 5-6 months, she's able to say, Mama, I want to go poo in diaper, right? Before she like would get really nervous and like she pooed in her pants a few times until we realized she's just not psychologically, she's just not comfortable yet with parting with her poop. And I know it's a really weird thing for us adults, but it actually makes sense if you think about it from a kid's perspective. Since they were born, they have only ever pooped in the safety of a diaper.
Yeah, so
they've, exactly. They've always had poop next to their butt, which sounds gross for us, but like they're okay with it. And and so Raya will now ask, you know, Mama, I want to go poo in a diaper. And what's interesting, kids are so smart. She knows that at school, she will not be offered a diaper. So I think she had one poop accident at school. Henceforth, she has never pooped at school. She saves her poop for home. And there are other kids who do that. I talked to a couple of moms.
Isaiah too. He doesn't poop at school. I mean, he doesn't have poop separation thing, but I think he just feels more comfortable going at home. So he just only goes at home.
Yep, exactly. And you know, when Raya was 1.5, she also started doing the thing where she would hide when she went poop. That's how we know she was going poop. And even now, she'll go into the bathroom with her, and she asked me to put her diaper on. She'll go into the bathroom. She shuts the door and refuses to let us come in. So I feel like that's actually developmentally a step, because she no longer poops in the common area. She, even though she's not willing to poop in the toilet, but she knows that she wants privacy in the bathroom when she poops. So, and I asked her teachers and I was like, should I be worried? Like, is she still pooping? And they're like, she's still young. Like, I wouldn't worry about it. Just let it, you know, at some point she's going to be willing. So every time I just ask her, Raya, do you want to poop in diaper? Do you want to poop in the toilet? And she always says poop in diaper. So then I put her diaper on. At one day though, she may say, hey, I want to poop in the toilet. And then we'll
Yeah. I think it's very common. I've heard many friends talk about their kids having poop separation anxiety.
Yeah. So don't worry about that, Susan, if like somehow, you know, Art is also not really willing to poop in a diaper. And I think also for other listeners out there, like it's really normal. No one is pooping in a diaper when they're like 10 years old, you know, unless there are other medical reasons involved. Right. Yeah.
Okay. This is relaxing me so much that maybe I want to go potty. But like, this is awesome because I don't know, on the outside, I'd be like, why are these parents at a zoo walking around with the little potty thing? You know, like either the seat thing or the potty, like they're just walking around with it. I had no idea. I thought this was going to be a weekend thing and all of a sudden they'd be an adult converted person poo-pooing in the pot, you know, and I had no idea the process and the nuance. Like I didn't want to start Googling it because I was just so scared that there was so much. Kate, talking to you about like comparing when people start. Okay. I just need to get it off my chest. We have a mutual friend who was like, did you know you can.
You mean us? Like us and you?
Yeah. You, me and you. Oh, okay. We have a mutual friend who has a daughter. And I was talking to her and she's like, oh, you know how like you can train cats to pee in the toilet and then you don't need a litter box? I'm like, oh no, but cool. She was like, oh, well, we've been training our daughter and she's been able to pee in the potty, or like she knows to only go like since like a few months old.
Oh, elimination communication. I know who you're talking about, but I was just going to talk about it. Can I talk about it, please?
Yeah,
please?
I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
Well, my point is I felt super jealous.
No, you shouldn't. No, Susan, you shouldn't. And here's why. Okay. So there is a method, Jeanette, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called elimination communication. Yeah. Yeah. I learned about it on Instagram, yay, where I get lots of my parenting trends. It is it's basically a fancy name for something that Chinese people have done for millennia.
Yes.
Which is just hold your baby from basically when they're born or a few months old over a hole and they'll go. And here's the thing. Or not a hole or whatever.
Wherever.
It's pure impulse, Susan. Like there is no way that a baby at 2 months old knows that it's consciously going voiding in a potty. It's literally like an exposure, you know, basically it's like a stimulus.
Yeah, exactly. My pants off. I'm cold.
Yes. And like, so I actually, one of my friends who had her baby this July started it with, and I saw it in action. She bought a tiny baby potty for her like newborn. And she said, oh, she just, you know, occasionally. So the best times to do it are when the baby wakes up or right after a feeding. And so you just hold them over the potty and then you go, shh, or make some other kind of watery sound, or you can blow on their nether regions. And it's just literally an impulse. It's a physical impulse. Every baby can do it. If you decided to do it to Art when he had been like 2 months old, he would have the exact same reaction. There's no skill involved. It's not a skill or like maturity or intelligence.
Okay, so that kid isn't smarter than my kid.
No. They just chose to do that. And so actually I came back and I was asked her nanny. I was like, hey, like, and Lila was, I think, 5 or 6 months old at the time. I was like, hey, can we do that with Lila? I'd never seen it in action. So before I had been totally skeptical because I only ever saw it on Instagram, right? I'm like, oh, this is something that Instagram moms do, like it sounds like a scam. But then I saw it in action. I was like, oh my God, it's so cool. So I came back. And then so our nanny, since Lila was about 5-6 months old, every morning when Lila wakes up, has been holding her over the sink and going, shh. And you know, I would say maybe like 70% of the time she pees, but she's still wearing diapers most of the time. And so, you know, if I remember after feeding, sometimes I'll do it, but I don't always. So that's what it is.
So then they actually still wear diapers and.
Sorry. So if you're totally practicing elimination communication, the second part of that is, so some moms.
The split pants.
Yeah. So the Chinese people just do the split pants, you know, the crotchless pants where you just literally. So that's how I grew up. I talked to my aunt because I was living with my grandparents and my aunt when I was potty training. She was like, oh yeah, you were potty trained by the time you were like 1.5 because, you know, they had those crotchless pants.
By potty training, you mean, like, I think no diapers. You're just going, like, in Korea, they do something very similar, but literally, like, you just go anywhere. There's pictures of my parents holding me over the side of the street because I'm like, I need to go. And they're like, immediately, wherever might be remotely okay to for there to be, like, urine, you just hold them there and then they just go.
Yeah, so this is a less cost on your time and buying all these accessories, but at the same time, a huge sanitary concern.
But this is like pre-industrial you know, that every culture did it. And I think in China, I've noticed the evolution. Now in the big cities, people look down on the country people who still bring their kids in and do that on the side of the street, right? Everybody is like, the culture thing to do is to wear diapers. It's cultural. I would say it's cultural. It's you know, but sorry, let me go back to the rest of the true elimination communication as it is practiced today in Western industrialized societies. The second part of that isn't just, oh, you occasionally do hold the kid over the hole and then they pee. It's also a big part of it is that the main caregiver, in this case, usually on Instagram, it's stay-at-home moms, spend so much time with their child that they're able to, apparently many of them will claim that they can tell when their baby is about to go pee or poop by the sounds or facial expressions that they're making. And so the idea is that you would know in advance, and therefore, you know, you'd hold your baby over, eventually you'd instead of randomly like putting them at certain times, you'd be able to do it upon cue. That's elimination communication in its truest form. And so, you know, like one mom I saw on Instagram said that by the time her son was like one and changed, most of his poops and pees were done over the toilet. She would just hold him over, yeah, like a mini toilet.
Oh, mini one.
Yeah. Or I mean, a big one is fine, but like mini, by that time he could just sit, right? So like she would put him on it and then he'd just sit on a mini toilet by himself because he could sit, but he couldn't walk the toilet yet. So,
I mean, you're just creating the association.
Yeah.
Of like, I go pee in the toilet, right? Yeah. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with this approach, but I do think it's more time intensive, Susan.
It is. Than, very.
Yeah, because you have to offer to go, like, pull them over the potty or the sink, like, multiple times through the day. And you also have to be able to react to their cues pretty much immediately. And so
I don't have time for that.
Yeah. So I think it is true that those kids will become toileted much earlier. But I think what my impression is that they will also just continue to have accidents. And it's like, you know, so in some ways it's spreading out the process over a longer period of time. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that if you can do that, that's great. But I guess like my emphasis is just there's multiple paths to getting there.
Yeah.
And I don't read it as a judgment on a parent or a child, yeah, you know, to do it, to start when, you know, they're born versus when they're 1.5 or 2 or 2.5 or 3, you know, like, I don't know. I mean,
circumstances are different too, right? Because if you are going to do the elimination communication, your child, there's no way your child can be in daycare because it requires one caregiver to be with the child at all times. And that's just not the real reality for a lot of our listeners, right? I mean, I guess maybe if you have a nanny, you could work with the nanny to have them be cued in. But if your child is in a daycare setting, there's no way they can really do elimination communication because there are multiple caregivers and a lot of kids, right? And so there's no judgment, like Jeanette said, against any one method. You just have to pick the one that's best for you and the lifestyle that you want for your family and then your child's appropriate age. You know, I think there's just too much, you know, it's just, yeah.
Variables. There's a lot of variables.
Yes. Yeah. But it definitely, now I used to be very skeptical of this whole elimination communication and toileting from an early age or baby toileting. But now I think it's kind of cool. Like if you have the time and you're interested in it, then great. You know, like the one friend that I said, who she does listen to her podcast and she's great. Thank you. You know who you are. Is that she, you know, she spent almost every minute of her waking time the first few months with the baby. They now, I think, have a part-time babysitter, but like, so she was able to do that, right? Tune into her kids' cues, but not all moms or dads have that ability or time or whatever. So again, you know, you just pick what works for you.
Okay. I feel like I've got some actionable things that I can do now, which is awesome. I do want to say I have been trying to make it fun with art. So in that potty book, there's this scene where the kid knows they need to go pee pee or poo poo. And then the baby goes, ooh, And he has different facial expressions and movements of where he's putting his hands and his face. And then Art and I did it last night 10 times in a row. And every time I did, and I looked stressed out, he thought he cracked up so much. So that was super fun, which is like, because I'm like, yeah, how do I make this really fun and not super shameful? And there's another scene. There's an 8-grid square where the kid like sits down on the potty with their diaper, says, oops, say bye-bye diaper, and they take off the diaper and sit down, go gets a book, and then throws the book on the floor, looks at the potty, and then feels frustrated. Art acted out this scene like maybe 20 times.
And he kept throwing the book on the floor. And I was like, gentle with the book, gentle. I was like, it's a library book. And it was just so fun. Like, I got an email from like Love Every or whatever. It was like, your child likes to play pretend and like acting things out is awesome. So I was like, oh, I got a tip about this. Let's keep doing it. And it was really working. And like, he didn't want to stop. And then after 20 minutes, I was like, I'm so bored of this. You know, like, I'm just like, can we transition to something else, AKA the bath that we were supposed to have a long time ago? But I guess my point is like, I'm also trying to take his cues of like what he finds fun. And right now he's really into impersonation. So that not all is lost. But anyways, I'm going to talk to the daycare. I think that's like the big next step is talk to the daycare and accept that actually I just needed some markers of like, okay, so he should be using the small potty for how long? Or like kill the expectation that it's a 3-day, 2 to 3 day thing. And then he's climbing up on this like unstable step stool and like then pooping like everybody else, you know, like I just, that's all I expected. And then this is really great level setting for me right now. So thanks.
You know, yeah. I think Susan, you bring up a really good point, which is that I've been thinking about this question a lot, which is that I think sometimes there's a lot of pressure for us and on our kids to learn a certain skill like immediately or in a very quick time period, like toileting or I don't know, even like learning to say please or something, right? Because we want, I think in the world where everybody's very busy, we're very busy and we do all these things. We want our kids to just like be up to speed like that, right? But if you think about how society was for most of, I don't know, humanity, things moved at a kind of a slower pace, like a more natural pace, right? And like, I think people were probably before there wasn't an expectation that you would have overnight toilet training or, you know, because people were having their kids since they were born with crotchless pants or who knows if they were nomads, they just, you know, I don't know, maybe wear like something with no pants. Like they just maybe a baby skirt or something, right? Like that was the reality for most of humankind. But now we're just in this very unique situation of like parents are working, like, you know, we have diapers and like, we just need to get this thing done like that. And I think we can't undo many, like our human evolution with just this short method. I think kids just need time for a lot of things. And I think it's really easy for us to forget that. And I constantly have to remind myself of that. Like when I want to teach Rye something new or like, I want something that's more convenient for us and I want her to learn it. It just, things take time, you know?
But do you think like our Western civilization, industrialized civilization just made it more complicated and made it more expensive and more environmentally destructive? Like,
oh, yeah.
Should I have just gotten crotchless pants the whole time?
No, but it's not that black and white, right? Because also we're in this new, we're in this different social context, right? Where I think if you went out in Seattle and like put your kid over like the sidewalk and had them pee there, that's not socially acceptable, right? Like we're constrained by the social mores of our time too. And
there's, I mean, it's also a sanitation.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's also a sanitation issue. Yeah. Yeah. And sanitarily it's just different. And I got to see that evolve in China, right? Where now almost no one does that to their kids in the urban areas in China. And if somebody, a peasant farmer person does it, you can see all the urbanites going like, ah! You know, but no one gets arrested for doing it because it's like, it still happens.
I know. I'm just wondering how complicated we're making all this.
I think it's just, there's no one right way. You know, I think that the diapers make it more convenient in that you can lengthen the time between when the kid goes pee and when you have to deal with it. It also is more sanitary, but it also creates more waste. And I think the diapers also, it kind of removes the signal that kids naturally get when they pee. I think prior to diapers, probably kids would just be much more aware of like, oh, I feel this urge to pee. I void my bladder. I feel a wetness, you know, in my legs. So they're learning those things probably from a much earlier age. And when you're wearing a diaper that's like super moisture wicking and like keeps your baby dry all day long, they don't have as many opportunities to make those connections, right? But there's trade-offs because then you don't have pee on the floor and you don't have to wipe off pee off the, you know, kids' legs every hour. So, you know, it's just trade-offs. I mean, I think that there's some good about it. There's some bad. I don't know, like much of life.
Okay, can we talk tactical?
Okay.
So inside the potty book, the last page is undies. And then you see all these like underwears that have a lot of images on it. And I was desperate last night. Okay. So I was like, Art,
when you only use a potty, which underwear do you want? He wants the one with the fish on it. Mm. I was wondering, like, is there like an underwear brand company that you really like? I don't know the organic ones. I don't know, like, cost to benefit ratio. Is there Costco ones I can consider? Like, what's your thought process? You just go to Target. Like, tell me about buying underwear.
First of all, I tried to bribe Raya with underwear when I first made that disastrous effort to potty train her. She's not interested in being bribed by underwear to go to the potty. Maybe some kids are. I know, right? Because it's like, why does she need underwear? So that's, yeah. I mean,
that's not her currency.
Yeah, I had read somewhere that like sometimes that could make kids really excited for them to like pick out what underwear they want and they get motivated. I'm like, okay, maybe some kids, but like not mine, right? I just get her underwear from Target and H&M. I like read from some online influencer that I follow that she was like, Hannah Anderson makes really high quality underwear. And I looked at the price and I'm like, there is no way I am paying $5 or $6 per pair of underwear for my child, like at this age, when she was still at this point, Rye was like still occasionally pooping into her underwear. And I was like, hell no. Like,
so what is the
bulk? Just bulk. And because you're going to be probably throwing away some of that underwear if he poops in it. Although I have actually washed poop out of underwear. So not always, it depends on the gooiness of the poop. But like if it's a dry poop, I could just dump the poop into the toilet and then wash, you know, hand wash it. If it's like really wet, then I just throw the whole thing away.
Wait, yeah. Can you just put poopy underwear in the wash?
I would maybe scrape off like.
Yeah, I would just get most of it off, like just with like
a popsicle stick.
Or toilet paper. Or you could also just kind of turn it inside out, put it in the water and just kind of like shake it around. Yeah. Shake it around like.
In what container? Where? In the sink?
Designated plastic bowl or like, you know, you have all those takeout containers, like just one that you don't mind parting with.
And then you, okay, so say it's a Greek yogurt container from Costco. All right.
Okay.
That's what I have in my house. And then swoosh it around with a chopstick.
No. First turn the poop, the underwear inside out. You put that portion in a clean toilet bowl, right? You swish it around, get like most of the chunky stuff off. Okay. Uh-huh. I know, uh-huh. Susan, you have like the thing with poop, like, you know. What? Who
make
doesn't?
Marvin
okay.
do it if you
yeah
if,
yeah
okay
yeah.
And then
I think if it's just like a thin smear on it, then you could maybe just toss it on top of other laundry and just run it right then. Okay,
yeah,
that's what I would
recommend.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know if then there's like another step necessary, or you could go put on rubber gloves or disposable gloves, put it in your Greek yogurt container, throw some soap in there, and just like use your hands. It's fine, you're wearing gloves.
Susan, maybe for you with your poop, I don't know, issue, maybe just bulk buy underwear and then just determine if it's a dry poop, it's fine. But if it's
right,
just throw it away.
Okay. So I'm liking this idea of like taking Art to Target and he can pick his underwear. Where do you buy your kids' underwear?
I just buy them from Amazon. I buy the Carter's brand and I just buy like the 14 pack. Yeah, just.
Always buy more than you think you need.
Yeah, they're good quality underwear. He's worn them for a long time. They don't fall apart. We just had to size up recently. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think he was that motivated by underwear either. And again, I think like Art is already pretty interested. So I don't feel like there's a slight risk of adding incentives where there doesn't need to be. You know what I mean? He's already interested. Just kind of follow that stream. That would be my thinking. Rather than adding additional things that maybe would make him go from like, I am just naturally interested in this to like, oh, now if I do this, then I will get these other
things. Okay. I'm not going to do the presents or the gummies.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like you need to do it. It might turn into a thing where he's like, every time he goes to the potty, then he needs a gummy.
Yeah. Very informative.
Hopefully it takes a little bit of the anxiety for you and our listeners out of potty training, because I feel like it's just made to be such a big thing. I mean, it is an important milestone, but it's not like an all or nothing process and there's no one like right way to do it.
This is just helpful because honestly, I knew I had to take the lead. Like my husband was not interested in it, or like with sleep training, he was not leading. And after a while I was like, when you're gone, some things will be different when you come back, you know, like, and like that's how we got rid of the cat pacifier. Like, so I just kind of knew it was on me. And then I felt like it was another big task of so much unknown and so much over information that I was just like, I've been avoiding it, but then I always feel bad about the diaper thing. And you know what Marvin says about diapers? He's always like, there's plenty of landfill area.
I mean, technically he is correct.
I'm just like shocked, like how much recycling and trash reproduces one household of three people per week. You know, like I'm like, yeah. I can't even admit, I just feel like, I feel terrible. I just feel terrible. And but I wasn't willing to do the cloth thing, cloth diaper, because I was like, and then you have to do what with the poop? You know, but Mrs. Kim thinks we're disgusting. Mrs. Kim is always like, she's always like, she's mortified that we have a diaper pail. She just, whenever there's a poop, she just dumps it into the toilet and examines it and talks about it. And then takes out the trash every single day or whatever. And I'm just kind of like, I know I it's always, there's just so much, there's so much feelings around poop.
Mm.
There's so much feelings and judgment.
Well, it seems like Art is well on his way already.
Yeah.
I know he's probably, his inner dialogue is probably like, this is disgusting. Get me out of this. And I've just been like, well, bobbleheading.
He's well on his way, and it'll probably, but like at the same time, it won't be like a weekend thing. There will probably be a need for cleanup and change of pants. I will say though that we didn't put Isaiah in underwear consistently until 2 or 3 months out from when we started. So because for a lot of kids, underwear feels too much like a diaper. So it kind of just, it maybe just them to just like go, rather than kind of activate that part of their brain that says, oh, I don't have anything on my bottom. Oh, it's because I'm not wearing diapers anymore. Oh, that means I should go to the potty. You know, so I think that was an important tool for Isaiah. So just the additional note there is like, you don't have to be so quick to jump to the underwear, because actually that could hinder the, you know, whole potty training process.
Right. So, but I go diaperless, pull-ups, then underwear.
No, I would go, pull-ups. If you're doing pull-ups. With Isaiah, we did diapers, nothing on the bottom.
Correct.
No pants, no nothing, no right. Underwear. And then just pants.
Just pants.
And then underwear and pants.
So pull-ups started, but we started with pull-ups, right?
Isaiah did not do pull-ups.
No pull-ups.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but with Ruth, we'll probably do like pull-ups. I think she'll do pull-ups, and then she'll probably go straight to like no underwear or just underwear. So it'll be a different journey for her.
Okay, Kate, what are you going to do with Leela?
I mean, honestly, I'm just hoping, because she's going to go to the same school that Raya is. The teachers will probably start her on pull-ups, invite her to go to the potty every, you know, same thing probably with Raya, and then we'll have her in underwear.
Okay, so I'm going to go to Costco and buy pull-ups is my action, and I'm going to talk to daycare. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I think pull-ups will messes, but probably will lengthen the time that he's to the time he's fully potty trained.
Oh, no. Because said they're double the cost, and they're also still landfill.
Yeah. So that's the trade-off. That's the trade-off that we'll likely make with Ruth. But it's fine. You know, she'll get there eventually. So it either path is fine, Susan.
Yeah. I'm having deja vu right now. Have we talked about this before?
No.
Oh my God. This is a part of my destiny. Yeah.
Susan, talk to your daycare first before you buy the pull-ups, because again, I feel like daycares are maybe often underutilized resource. Like they may have, you know, just talk to them first about it.
Okay. You're right. They spend more time with Art than I do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like honestly, if they consistently invite him to the toilet and he sees other people toileting at daycare, it could just go
like
a lot faster.
It's like Simba, man. Every time they like lift them up and everyone like cheers. It's like weird. I mean, no, it's not weird. It's like a Lord of the Flies normalization process that I want to be a part of.
Seems like right up your alley.
Right?
We hope you found something helpful, reassuring, or interesting in this episode of Model Minority Moms. If you enjoyed the episode, please help us spread the word by texting a friend about our show or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want to connect with us, please visit our website at modelminoritymoms.com or follow us on Instagram, where we love receiving messages from our listeners.